Injured in a car accident? We cap attorney's fees at 30% of the first million. Any recovery above that is all yours. No recovery, no fees or costs. If another lawyer wants more, Lawyer Up 904. For accidents, injuries, and more, Lawyer Up 904. Jacksonville.
Now, get ready to spend the next 2 hours with four smart sport-loving ladies. This is Helmets and Heels with Lauren, Donna, Taylor, and Mia, driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
Unfortunately, it's not a Victory Tuesday, but it kind of feels like one because it is a bye week, so the Jaguars can't lose this week. And we're live here at Bellwether for downtown's best happy hour. We'll tell you all about Bellwether throughout the show, but we can confirm the bowl peanuts and the bowl peanut hummus, to Donna's point about how I pronounce those words, is excellent, along with the falafel. They've also got things like shrimp and grits and burgers, and it's going to be delicious. All right, Donna, I'm not going to bury the lead. You put money on the Jaguars defeating the Chiefs. A, why did you have so much faith? But B, how much money did you lose?
It's the game they should not have won. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, I really thought they would win.
So you're saying that Ravens next week and Cowboys in December are still in play?
Yes.
Cool. Okay.
Yes,
yes
I
good
do.
Good to know for my own betting reasons.
Yes, I have a MyBookie account.
There you go.
Yes, Mia. I do. And what? I didn't hear you go.
Oh. Or did they already use that against the Chargers, their game they
no.
shouldn't have won?
No, because the Chargers are up in limbo still. So I don't count them as the, like, in the realm of the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they beat the Chiefs this Sunday night, which, again, they're in prime time. Anyway, I put money on Ingram getting a touchdown, which he had it, and it got called back because of Cam Robinson. Thank you, Cam Robinson. Appreciate that one. I put them on winning or covering at 9.5.
Yep.
And they lost by 10.
Vegas always knows, Donna. First rule of my bookie.
Thank you, Riley Patterson, for that one. And I put it on.
Make one of the two.
Something else. I forgot what else I put it on. But it must have been on ETN. And
what?
Then they gave up on the run. So overall, I lost everything.
It was a bad Sunday for you. I have $25 in my BetUS account. And I am so stingy that I can't decide what to do with it. Here's the problem. I know exactly when, at least I think I know exactly when to place it on the Florida Gators. The problem is when I was 12, I bet someone $5. And when you're 12, $5 is a lot of money.
Yep.
Bet Florida would beat Nebraska. That was the 1995 national championship game, when Florida got routed by Nebraska.
Oh, no.
So I've never again bet money on my team. Mm. But I knew Florida was going to beat South Carolina, and I have my $25 sitting there, and it was like, no, but I can't. I literally put it in the cart, and then I took it out. Anyway, betting on teams is tricky. But moreover, the Jaguars won the turnover battle, Mia, and lost the game. Can you explain to me how that happens?
Yes. No, actually, I can't. Just kidding. I just tried. I thought about it, and I went, I really can't. No. At the end of the day, and I said this on XL Primetime earlier today, yes, they didn't execute when they needed to. And that's the easy answer as to how you can have three turnovers, you can win the turnover margin, Trevor Lawrence can still throw for over 200 yards, and he didn't turn the ball over at all. But at the end of the day, the thing that really, like, that stands out to me is that this team, like, when I was on the sideline, because I was out there in Kansas City, like, it felt like they were going to win. Like this team was truly locked in on the game plan that Doug Peterson had. And even in the locker room after, I know Christian Kirk said earlier today that he felt sick after that game. You could tell it was, like, a disappointed feeling, but it was a, we did everything we said we were going to do. It was just one or two things, shoulda, woulda, coulda, I understand, that's what everyone loves to say, that changed the course of it. I mean, excuse me, if you take out the Cam Robinson negated touchdown, and I understand that maybe the Chiefs play the Jaguars different on the next drive. If Riley Patterson makes those two kicks, and I understand the Chiefs, maybe they put their foot on the pedal a little bit more after that. The Jaguars are tied at 27-all.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where it's definitely tough to explain. It didn't feel like as devastating a loss as some of the guys described in the aftermath of it, because at the end of the day, this team was down 20-0 and they didn't flinch. And that's why I think, regardless of how many wins the Jaguars have by season's end, I think we're going to look back at last week's overcoming a 17-0 deficit against the Raiders. And I understand it's the Raiders and they're 0-6 in one score games, but we're going to look back at that as a turning point for this team potentially, because it just proved that, hey, we've been here before. Yes, they were against Washington too. But other than that, like, hey, listen, we can get down, we can come back, and so we're going to still execute the game plan that we set out to do. And that's where I just, like, I came away from it, and I was like, it's the Chiefs. Everyone outside of Donna picked them to lose. But at least there was a plan. And maybe our bar is set a little bit low because of what happened here last year. But that was my reaction.
Like, there's a plan.
I was like, you know what? There was a plan. There was a clear plan. The onside kick I loved, which I understand our boy Graham Marsh Spielberg back at 1010XL headquarters, video producer, was saying to me, you know, if they didn't recover the onside kick, you know, then we would be saying Doug's an idiot. And even then, they still punted. I understand. But it was the premise of Doug Peterson said, you're going to have to steal a possession or two, and you're going to have to be aggressive to beat this team. And he came out of the gates with it. He should have gone for it on 4th and 2, and that's another story for another time. But the truth of the matter was, is there was a plan, and unfortunately, it just didn't – like, there were one or two three things that if you change them, the whole game has changed, but that's been the story of the season.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say. I had no confidence whatsoever that the Jags were going to win that game, and I think just because all around Kansas City is a much better team, even with a receiving core right now that isn't in the top of the league like they're used to because it's Juju is their guy, not Tyreek Hill, but they have Travis Kelce, and that's hard to ignore.
We knocked Juju out.
Yeah.
Because we always knock out.
Instead, Tony. Yeah, there's somebody every week. Yeah. It's honestly kind of, I think we're some sort of jinx right now in that light, but it's just interesting to me to watch that game because in my eyes, you could point to all of the little things, I think, that you could say, well, it was a 10-point game, and like this, and this could have went different, and it could have been this way. But I also think that in reverse for the Chiefs, like Patrick Mahomes very rarely throws interceptions. So when you're seeing stuff like that and you're seeing guys fumble the ball on the Chiefs, they're a very disciplined team. That's not something that normally happens to them. So you win the turnover battle by 3. And then you still allow almost 500 yards and lose by 10. To me, that's just where the Jags are, unfortunately, right now, is they're learning. They're a team that has things to figure out. There's way too many holes in pieces of both sides of the ball right now. And we keep saying the learning how to win thing. I'm not worried about the Jags being able to not come back from being down. I think that's a little easier in the NFL right now because people start, especially with a guy like Trevor, that is accurate, very accurate the majority of the time. It's easy to score a couple touchdowns when you need to, and that we see that across the board. But at the end of the day, the winning is what takes the team to the next level, and they're just not there yet.
Donna, I actually picked the Jaguars also because of the fact that the Jaguars have played the Chiefs have played poorly against AFC South teams. They went to overtime with the Titans, and before that they lost to the Colts. And a Colts team that we all know now is not very good.
Oh, we're going to get into it. Don't worry, America.
So I thought, all right, the Jaguars are going to come in there, and they just came back against the Raiders. They've got some momentum, and the Chiefs don't really care about the Jaguars, right? They're going to overlook this team. Although I think if you ask most people in the NFL, nobody overlooks anybody, or at least they shouldn't, because anybody can win any given Sunday or Monday, as what happened last night. Sorry to my friend Trish, who's a diehard Eagles fan who was at the game last night. Trish and Abby at the game last night, but Trish is the Eagles fan. Yeah, and they lost. She had great field passes and everything. I feel so bad.
No.
Yeah, but anyway, that's not the point. So I think this Jaguars team, the way it's constructed, I think could have won the game. The problem, Donna, is the fact that Travis Kelce, Kadarius Toney, and Noah Gray were so open. They were the most wide open players you'll ever see on an NFL field. You literally never see people that wide open. That's the problem. This defense is broken, and I'm not sure how they're going to fix it because they spent a lot of money on it. But at this point in time, they can't rush the passer, and they can't cover on the back end. And there's also holes probably in the linebacking core too. But moreover, it's
the
all
front
over
and the back
defense.
Are not very good.
Yeah,
right
all
now.
Over the defense isn't very good.
Right, and we talked about it last week. You know, what are the keys? How do you beat the Chiefs? And we said, well, the Titans laid it out for you. Mm-hmm. You know, the Titans should have beaten the Chiefs last week. What do? You constantly run. They should have stayed with Derrick Henry last week. Mm-hmm. And they gave up on Derrick Henry for some reason towards the end of the second half, and they stopped it. So they needed to constantly run ETN. And I don't know where the run game went to. They just disappeared.
So,
and then you have to constantly double-team Kelce. But okay, so
covered. I mean, double team them. How about cover them in the first
at all?
Right. So I will say two things on that front. Number one, Foye Oluokun was man marking Travis Kelce, which is difficult for a guy who's also making all the calls for a defense. And as we saw firsthand when you watched the tape back, it became very evident, at least in this game, and perhaps it has been the case for the last few games, according to Jeff Lagerman and Coach Campo, at least, that in addition to giving the calls, he is literally having to tell Devin Lloyd and several others, like, you go here now, as opposed to just, hey, do this. Like, he is literally having to say, you go here now. And so to do all that and also cover Travis Kelce, that's a pretty tall task for him. So, listen, I kind of give Foye a pass because he had a lot of things on his plate. But to your point about the run game, Donna, because we talked to Coach Campo about this today, and Travis Etienne told me after the game that, you know, the biggest thing that the Kansas City Chiefs did to take away the run game, because it was very clear, mm-hmm. they were going to make Trevor throw.
Yeah.
And Trevor did throw, which we'll get to, too, because that was all positives for the most part. So, but they had their linebackers and then obviously their defensive linemen just collapsing every single gap, and they took away the perimeter, which, mm-hmm. as we've seen over the last few weeks, and Travis Etienne has gone three straight games over 100 yards rushing, he's hitting the perimeter, he's hitting the edge, and he's going. Mm-hmm. So they took those two things away. They played more to the outside. They forced the wide receivers outside to the sideline as opposed to the Jaguars' defense, which Coach Campo told me, if you ever look, he was like, they're kind of forcing people inside, which is not really what you're supposed to be doing. But regardless, the fact of the matter is they keyed in on Travis Etienne.
Mm-hmm.
who is good in between the tackles. He has improved in between mm-hmm. the tackles, but he is not the bruiser.
That's not his specialty.
He's not the bruiser that Derrick Henry is. He's not the bruiser David Montgomery, Taylor's guy in Chicago, is. Mm-hmm. And it was very evident that then when your only other option in the run game is JaMychal Hasty, who's definitely not as good between the tackles, that's where you find yourself at the disadvantage the Jaguars did.
But if he's also the speedster, if him and Zay are your speedsters on that team, then why aren't you changing your game plan to dump it off to them and go?
Yeah, just more of the screen game. And they did have a little bit of success in the screen game, so it was surprising they didn't try to build up that a little bit more. But again, they were down 20 to nothing.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
And that's where I think they were like, all right, well, like, we're having a little bit of success over the middle. Trevor is on, so we're going to try to hit the deep ball. And he did, obviously, a couple times. The throw to Marvin Jones, the catch by Marvin Jones, too, may have been best catch, best throw that we've seen throughout the course of this Jaguar season. It's up there. And then, of course, you know, everyone's going to go back to the one where Zay Jones potentially DPI by the Kansas City Chiefs defensive back there. But if it's a different receiver, again, all the woulda, shoulda, couldas, the ifs. But if it's a different receiver, if it's Calvin Ridley, does he catch that?
Right.
And that's the million-dollar question. And the fact of the matter is, and we've been saying this throughout the course of the year, Trevor Lawrence, when he was at Clemson, even when he was in high school, and part of that was just because of who the competition was, he wants to push it down the field.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so until you have the resources there, it's going to be tough to push it down the field. But for what it's worth, I think, Lauren, they pushed it down the field more this weekend than they have any other matchup this year.
We will talk about Trevor and the giant helmet on the opposite side line. You're listening to Helmets and Heels live from Bellwether, driven by Tyrell on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
These heels are made for talking.
Helmets and Heels.
Driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010 XL.
I bet you never heard old Marcel Dillon say, Miss Kitty, have you ever thought of running away? Settling down, would you marry me?
So you're telling me I've got Toby Keith from Wonderful JJ La Selva and we've got appetizers here at Bellwether Downtown for Downtown's Best Happy Hour. I get all of that on a Tuesday night.
Hello.
That
is such a great song.
Such a great song. Absolutely. Should have been a cowboy by Toby Keith. And certainly, as we've been telling you about Bellwether, everything is delicious. And Happy Hour is Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 7 p.m. The only exception is on Friday when Happy Hour starts at 11 a.m.
Wow.
That means get your Friday Fry-yay started off right. All right, Mia, you were at Arrowhead. Donna Murphy has said that Patrick Mahomes has the world's largest helmet, or at least the NFL's largest helmet. Do you concur after seeing it in person?
So I didn't get that super close to Patrick just because of the nature of how the field was set up when I was on the field. I will say this. I want to give the Chiefs a lot of credit. Number one, nicest security people I have ever encountered.
And you have issues with security
in my
people.
10 years of covering professional and college sports, man. Yeah, like we're talking, I'm on the field, and not only are they like engaged, engaging us in conversation and not like, what are you doing here? But like some other people I know. But it was like, hey, so how was your flight in? Are you okay? Are you cold? Here's some hand warmers.
Aww.
And then as I was walking past again, he goes, oh, I forgot to give you the other one. Here's a second one. Put them in your shoes. It'll help. And I was like, oh my God. Like, you're, like you don't have to be doing this. Like, what is this? So number one, want to commend those and thank the security staff at Arrowhead who were awesome. But then secondly, while I was on the field, I can tell you this, that the pregame introductions for the Chiefs, And I'm not even talking like when they're saying the names and they're individually running onto the field, because that actually wasn't as loud as I thought it would be. It's when they come out for warm-ups. So they come out. I described it as like a West Side Story sort of feel, where the Chiefs come out of a separate tunnel than they come out of when they actually enter for the game. And Patrick comes first, and as he comes and the rest of the team follows, they literally split off. It was like almost like, I know in high school we used to warm up like this. They split off. So like 10 of them go this way, 10 of them go that way. He goes up the middle. It's like a synchronized dance, and they all run like a full lap around the field and like wave to the fans, and then the music's playing and it's blasting. And so that was when I got closest to Patrick. His helmet is big. It's like bigger though in like the top of the dome region. Yeah, like that's, I don't know what he does.
Right.
He actually wasn't as tall. And again, I wasn't as close to him like where I could say that, but like he didn't look as imposing as I anticipated him looking, Donna. So I'm sorry to report that, but I'm also sorry to report that
so
I...
So you're saying he's small.
Yeah, like he wasn't as big as I thought he was going to be. Yeah.
He's like a bobblehead.
Yes, that is true. But I'm also sorry to report that I did go looking for Brittany Mahomes or Brittany Lynn, whatever her name is these days, and Jackson Mahomes, and I was unsuccessful, even though I went to all of the VIP on the field sections, and I looked. I was looking. They must have been up in the boxes.
Oh, yeah.
I tried, though, because I was
too cold for them.
I was like, if I can find a picture for them doing their TikTok, I got to send it to Donna right here, right now, so I can throw up in my mouth.
I was going to say, Donna, what would you have yelled at them? If you had been able to see her.
I don't think I would have yelled anything. I just probably would have booed. That's probably what I would have done. Nobody likes you. No.
So mean. They're like a mean girl when it comes to her. I'm just kidding.
Because she's mean.
No, she is. And she's annoying, and we've certainly talked about her a lot. All right, so Trevor Lawrence in comparison to Patrick Mahomes. Taylor, you walked away from Sunday's game thinking what?
About them too.
Mm-hmm. Well, more about Trevor and how did he compare to Mahomes?
Look, I love Trevor Lawrence, and I think that every single game I'm seeing him improve, and that's all I was asking for this season personally. I know some other people had higher standards for this season. I wasn't quite there. I don't think there was any point in this offseason where like a particular move made me feel like that was the thing that was going to drastically change anything. But what I did want to see is Trevor continuing to get better and Trevor really turning that corner to where I was like, okay, he looks comfortable and he looks like he's going to be the future of the Jacksonville Jaguars and he's not making a ton of mistakes. We saw it a few weeks ago and we were worried about the mistakes a little bit. But I think what I'm seeing right now is Trevor is doing what Trevor needs to do. Every single game there's something I think he's getting better at. And that's what I can ask for at this point.
Yeah, Donna, I think when you watch it, you know, from home, obviously Mia was there at Arrowhead, but for the rest of us, that's a pretty loud environment, and he went in there and he took command, and his team found itself down, and he still didn't seem to flinch, and I think we've seen him in the past press a little bit, and I didn't see that Sunday, and he does look more comfortable, and it does look like they are going downfield more, to Mia's point earlier. It feels like this is his offense now. We've almost seen them turn the page from... We're giving him just a little bit, to now this is his car, you drive it, and we trust you.
Yeah, I completely agree. Taking more command, running when he feels like he needs to, throwing
it
away.
I'm all about that.
You know, and actually throwing it away, not pulling a Zach Wilson. And look, now we see in the past couple weeks when you're watching the Bills and you see Josh Allen, and he's making the rookie mistakes that we've seen Trevor make and throwing those interceptions right in the end zone.
Yeah.
So it's funny that you've seen the transition the past few weeks, and now everybody's asking, oh, are we seeing the regression of Josh Allen? So it's nice that no one's really talking about Trevor. Yeah. I don't know if Trevor's going to be good.
I don't call it regression as much as I call it. I call it the effort stat, also known as the red zone turnover stat, which if you look at red zone turnovers among quarterbacks this year, the top five culprits are Josh Allen, Trevor Lawrence, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Joe Burrow. All five guys who believe that their arm talent can beat you anyways, and they're going to try to slot it into that tiny little window anyways.
Yeah. And Josh Allen's also been injured. He's been battling injury. So that you've seen him regress a little, but I think it does surround that. But yeah, those are three guys or five guys, however many you just named, that
burgers
are,
and fries
are all ones that you, first of all, Aaron Rodgers never throws picks like this, so it's been beautiful for me to see because that does not happen. But he's
Although
usually
the,
not
I need
that
the Packers
bad.
To beat the Titans this week, yeah. just for some hope.
No,
here
not
in Duval.
Me. Sorry, I can't do it. But I think that those are people. And the one thing I was worried about Trevor, and I mentioned this, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. The one thing that I was concerned about is what he does when it is under pressure. And I don't mean having to come back down multiple touchdowns. I mean when it's close, because I was seeing so many bad overthrows and so many bad turnovers and so many bad mistakes when he was like, okay, if you don't do it now, there's no chance. And those have even started to lessen of ones, and I'm saying just in critical moments in general. And I've seen, and so I've even been able to like breathe a little of, I'm not at that point where I'm sitting there like, oh gosh, what is Trevor going to do on this play? Because he has to make this happen or it's not going to work. And I was there a few weeks ago, and that's slowly going away. And that makes me feel like I'm more comfortable, meaning he's more comfortable.
Well, some people keep joking. They're like, maybe he plays better when he's from behind, because 17-0 and 20-0 might be the coolest and calmest and collected. Mm-hmm. Most
Although
collected
against
we've
the
seen
Chargers him. And the Colts early on, certainly he played really well. Look, I think what was impressive to me is – throughout most of this season, the offensive line has played really well. Mm-hmm. The offensive line did not play well against the Chiefs.
No.
Chris Jones had a day, right? Mm-hmm. And yet Trevor still maintained composure and still played really well. That is a huge step forward.
Because
your offensive line isn't always going to play well. They are going to have some really talented defensive tackles in this case, or defensive ends, outside linebackers, depending on the scheme, that are going to get after you. And the fact that he was able to still make those smart decisions was really impressive to me. And that leads me to our impact players last week. Mia had the week off. Taylor, who were your two impact players from last week?
Well, I had Dewan Smoot along with you.
Yep.
That wasn't well, I don't
that
think,
did
because
not go according to plan.
We had no pass rush
Yeah,
whatsoever.
I did see a stat, by the way, real quick from John Shipley. I didn't research it myself, but I'm going to steal it from him. The Jaguars have played the Patrick Mahomes-led Chiefs three times, and they've sacked Mahomes once in the three times. So that's 106 dropbacks that Mahomes has only had one sack.
That's not ideal.
No, that's ridiculous.
You're just
but,
like,
so
here, Patrick, throw
exactly.
the ball.
Exactly. So Dewan Smoot, who's
yes,
the
and then I had Etienne as my other one, which obviously the run game fell short in my eyes. He still had 45 yards, but that's nothing compared to what
he
definitely should have hit that 100 mark again.
All right, so JJ, I'm going to guess you – I know you remember one of your guys and Trevor Lawrence,
I
right?
I remembered both, actually.
Okay,
didn't
good.
Didn't I have Dewey?
You did
have
Dewey.
Dewey.
Now,
but
granted, Rayshon you thought Rayshon wasn't playing.
Yes.
Hey, but the special teams coverage was great on
I'm
Sunday,
sure
JJ.
It
might have been its best,
I'm
best,
sure it was.
Best day for the special teams we've seen all season.
Well,
Donna,
I think
who did,
it's
oh, go ahead, JJ.
Real quick. I think it's double standard how we treat concussions in the NFL. Rayshon's just back immediately. Quarterbacks, you know, Tua was out for like a month.
Right, but Tua showed different signs for his concussion, right? Like,
and they also let him back at first.
And they let him back in, so
know,
yeah, he might,
I'm
yeah.
Just saying.
But I know what you mean. It does seem, I did think it was fast for Rayshon, but I'm guessing that basically his level
like,
of concussion.
Good,
yeah, his level of concussion must have been lower than what, you know, the Tua had showed.
They weren't ready for Dewey time.
Maybe the Jaguars would have had a sack if Dewey came off of a safety blitz. Maybe. Donna, who did you have?
I had Arden Key. That there's that.
Yeah.
There's that
just
one.
Like Dewan Smoot.
Yeah.
And all the other pass rushers.
And I had Marvin. There's that. So.
Okay. Well, Marvin, like we said earlier, had a really nice catch. It was a beautiful pass and catch
there.
Yep,
there was that catch.
I had Christian Kirk, so along with Dewan Smoot, who we've already talked about. But I had Christian Kirk, so I feel like Christian Kirk did pretty well.
Two touchdowns, 100 yards.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think everybody in that building needs the bye week. Mm-hmm. It has been a long 10-game season to
Who needs
go
the bye
London
week more, the
out.
Players or the fans?
Me.
Both. I think both. I mean, I know that when we were at Atlantic Beach Country Club last Monday for the Boys and Girls Club golf tournament, the Beaches Boys and Girls Club golf tournament, Arden Key was there, and I overheard someone ask him, so are you sore? And he's like, you have no idea. Now, granted, you would have no idea watching him walk around and interact with people. But absolutely, he's just one player, right? And he's taking fewer snaps or getting fewer snaps than even some other guys. So, yeah, you can only imagine that the players absolutely need it. Fans probably, too, could use a little breather.
Sunday vacation.
I would say the coaching staff and some people in the front office probably need it, especially with a lot of the question marks that came out of this game in particular, whether that is how Devin Lloyd is being used, how Josh Allen is being used, Trayvon Walker and Josh Allen you know, flipped and alternated sides. Is that what you want to keep doing? Do you want to move Trayvon Walker inside? And so I could tell you this, on the offensive side of the ball, I was told, you know, the struggle – which we laugh at because we know last year none of the receivers, none of them could get separation. This coaching staff right now is worried because they feel like this wide receiver group and tight end group are not getting enough separation, which is hilarious only because we saw what happened last year, and at least this group is getting some of that.
But, I mean, at least they have a higher standard because if they right now were, like, completely comfortable with it, I'd be a little worried.
Right. But so, so nonetheless, that's another thing that they, you know, are going to be thinking about but also trying to get away from during this week, a couple days away.
Yeah, we're not getting a Gus Bradley speech. It's all great. Everything's great here.
Don't worry.
It's built.
We're going to go bowling and we'll be fine.
All right, when we come back, we'll get around the NFL. Also, we have a Jaguars injury report coming up. You're listening to Helmets and Heels live here at Bellwether, and happy hour is until 7 o'clock, so come on by on 10 to XL 92.5 FM.
A Tuesday night tradition in Duval.
Helmets and Heels.
Driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
I'm loving the music selections tonight, JJ. We are live here at Bellwether Downtown. Happy hour until 7 o'clock, but you can come on by any time and taste the delicious food and cocktails. We have poutine, we have charred broccoli, in addition to the boiled peanuts and the hummus and the pimento cheese and some feta cheese dip. It is all just fantastic, so make sure you come on by Bellwether here downtown for downtown's best happy hour. Let's, unfortunately, take a look at the Jaguars' recent injury report.
Three attorneys of Farrah and Farrah present this injury update. Farrah and Farrah.
Jacksonville.
Protecting you and your family since 1979.
I don't know why you said unfortunately, Lauren.
Because they're pretty healthy and they're still losing.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say there. I'm like, my lead to this is one thing that you have to give the
healthy.
Jags. They are healthy.
Correct. They're knocking other players out. They're healthy and they're still losing. That's, I guess, why I said it like that.
Right. The only injury to come out of Sunday's loss to Kansas City, both Evan Engram and Jamal Agnew briefly exited the game with injuries, but they both re-entered. And Doug Peterson told reporters yesterday that they are both going to be fine for next week's meeting with Baltimore. Rayshon Jenkins was questionable for Sunday's game, but he played 98% of the snaps after passing through concussion protocol, and that, my friends, is the Farrah and Farrah injury update.
Well done, Mia. It is fortunate for the Jaguars. They have not been too banged up, but you would like to blame some of these losses maybe on injuries like other teams get to do. Not so much the Jaguars. All right, Donna, I need to know, what happened to Happy Zappy?
What do you mean?
Isn't Mac Jones playing well? Like, where's the love for Bailey Zappi in New England?
Well, you know, you flip-flop. That's what you do. And right now...
So we've left him for Mac Jones, the OG.
We are... You just trust in Bill. And he says, Mac is our guy. So we go, okay, yes, sir. And so we have to go with Mac for right now until he gets re-injured. Which is a surprise because he wasn't fully healthy to come back.
Okay.
And so we don't really fully know why he brought Mac back in time.
Because it's a Mac attack.
Yes. And there was a whole lot of references to Back to the Future in that one, that sentence that I had. But, he really shouldn't have played both quarterbacks in that one game, and he should have stayed with Zappy. But regardless... Mac's doing okay. And, you know, in the crosstalk with Hayes, you know, Ramondre Stevenson is doing A-okay for the Patriots. And the run game is, you know, above subpar. So leaning on the run game, leaning on that strong defense that they have, that's what the game plan is going. And because the wide receivers, you know, they just stink. Unless it's Jacoby Myers, they just stink. They're horrible. You don't wish those wide receiver core on anybody, even the Bears. Don't, you know, they're horrible. you know, and she has one of the old wide receivers. And he stinks, right?
He doesn't stink for us right now, but we haven't got a whole lot of them yet. He just came back.
Okay.
But he's been
good. N'Keal Harry?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Taylor, that's a perfect segue to the Bears, Justin Fields. It seemed like Bears fans were upset with him for quite some time, but now it almost seems like, and I could be wrong, I'm certainly not in the mix of Bears fans, but it seems like now they're very happy with him.
Yeah, and I don't think, honestly, just from my experience, a lot of Bears fans were upset with Justin. I think they knew that last year, just as that we've done here in Jacksonville, that last year was kind of a wash, and Matt Nagy should have been fired before last year. And it was, I mean, they're chanting at games to fire Matt Nagy, and that's where they were last year. So just as a lot of people say, like, it was kind of a lost season, and in addition to that, they didn't even start Justin. So Justin didn't even get to practice in the beginning of last season. And then when he got thrown in, he was hurt because he was getting sacked every 2 seconds. And so it was just such a disaster that I think a lot of people this season knew it was going to take a little more time. He was 7 games behind Trevor Lawrence in the NFL because of injuries and because the Bears didn't start him. And going into the season, everybody nationally was like, the Bears are going to be the worst team in the NFL. They have the worst wide receiver core in the league. They have the worst offensive line in the league. And so I think our expectations were a little lower as to like how quickly he was going to catch on. We were just hoping eventually that you'd start seeing some progress. And that was the word we kept using, was just progress. And it's like, I mean, just massively leaped in the last 4 or 5 weeks. And it's everything. Obviously, you can point straight to the run game, and that's what everyone's saying. There's the little comments about how Justin Fields is a running back. Me and Jeff Prosser got in a fight this morning about it. But in my eyes, the Bears are doing right now what they know is going to work, and what works is running the ball because our offensive line is the worst pass-blocking line in the league. So, of course, you're going to run, especially when you have guys like Khalil Herbert, David Montgomery, and Justin Fields who can run the ball. But he's also completing high 60s, 70% of his passes. He's not throwing a ton, but that's also because he pretty much has Darnell Mooney. Him and Cole Kmet are finally finding a little bit of a connection, so that's been fun to watch that grow. But Bears fans are pumped right now about Justin Fields. He's just been so much fun to watch. And if we didn't have Justin Fields right now, we'd be losing games by 20. I mean,
would you say that he's very similar to Lamar Jackson? Or is he a better passer than Lamar?
I think he is a better passer than Lamar, honestly. And this is just in the glimpses that we've been able to see and what he has to also work with in the receiving core. I love Darnell Mooney, but Darnell Mooney's 5'10". And so there's only so much that you can do, especially when he's your number one guy that you're trying to go to and 50-50 balls and contested catches and there's nobody else. Justin Fields he can do it all right now, but the thing is they're just focusing so much on the run. But I do think they're very similar in like the elusiveness and being able to scramble and get out of things that they probably shouldn't have. There was many times the last few weeks where I thought he was going down and then he breaks out and runs for 30 yards. And it's really fun to watch right now, and it's also very weird because we hired a defensive coach and our offense has skyrocketed and our defense has plummeted. Granted, we don't have Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, Roquan Smith, or who am I missing?
The other defensive lineman that you traded away.
Yeah, Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn, and Roquan. All of those guys, which is our pretty much almost entire defensive front, are all gone, including a couple other guys, Bilal Nichols and guys like that. So Roy Robertson-Harris, which that was a couple years ago. I loved Roy Robertson-Harris. And I would love, he was just always a depth piece for us too. But so it's just really funny because in the season they're like, Bears are stupid. They hired a defensive coach when they need to fix their offense. And our offense has looked the best it's looked in years. And that's with bare minimum. Like Justin Fields has been sacked 34 times.
Bare minimum, I kind of like that.
Well said.
That's the double entendre there. Mia, I know you're not a Jets fan per se. You certainly grew up in that area. How are the Jets 6-3? When I look at stats from the same crop of quarterbacks we've been discussing, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson has terrible stats, yet the Jets are winning. You have to explain it to me because I have not watched much of their games.
I hope John Shipley is listening. We can start a drinking game every time we give him a shout-out. as he told me 6 weeks ago, the Jets are a quarterback away. Because the Jets did what the Jaguars claim to be trying to do, which is they built around Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. I mean, from Garrett Wilson to, Corey Davis last year to an extent, to C.J. Uzum, Uzoma. I can never pronounce
the Bengals.
The Bengals tight end. They bring him in. Obviously, the trade for James Robinson on top of drafting Breece Hall, which was on top of drafting Michael Carter a year ago. And then you look at the defensive side of the ball as well. Sauce Gardner is the runaway front runner for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say in the National Football League.
It's not going
to
be Devin Lloyd or Trayvon Walker.
Seven games to go. DJ Reader opposite him has been playing fantastic. Heck, they've even made Quincy Williams relevant. Like, maybe it's because he's playing with his brother Quinnen, and Quinnen's obviously taken a huge leap in his fourth year in the league. But they are getting production out of their draft picks. I do think there is something to be said. Yes, I do think there is something to be said about this is Robert Saleh's second year. This is Little LaFleur's second year as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about that because I think some of the struggles we've seen with the Bears and some of the struggles we've seen here, it's, you know, the coaching staff is well assembled. But at the same time, they still need a year. They still need a year with these players. They're still learning them. I mean, heck, we were talking on primetime today about should the Jaguars be looking to move back to a 4-3 if they're really going to keep Josh Allen around and if Trayvon Walker should move inside. So I think there's something to be said about it's Robert Saleh's second year.
Yeah.
But to be quite honest, Lauren, I think the bigger story out of New York is the Giants because – I mean, Daniel Jones, statistically speaking, is still – I mean, he's not turning the ball over, but Jonesy still is in the bottom half when it comes to passing yards and passing
almost
touchdowns.
Almost everything.
Yes, exactly. And they're still winning games. And, like, Saquon is Saquon, and he's healthy for the first time in 4 years. But at the same time, like, he's not doing it all either. It's just they, unlike the Jaguars, they are capitalizing on little things that change the course of a game. And that is why they find themselves in the position they are in. They are playing, obviously both of them, to be quite frank, are playing in very competitive divisions, unlike the AFC South or the NFC South. So I think we may see both of them come down to earth a little bit, but maybe they rise to the occasion as well. Because I was going to say to Donna on the subject of the Patriots, I saw Mike Greenberg tweeted out yesterday, he's never felt more confident that a Jets team will beat the Patriots than he does this week. And all I could think was, yeah, but 3 weeks ago you all thought you were confident going against New England, and you lost.
And what, yeah.
And that was at MetLife, not at Gillette.
And it's interesting to me, Mia, because it flashes me back to, like, 2020. And I tweeted this not long ago, and because the Bears were 5-1 to start that season, and – they ended up scraping into the playoffs, I think, with 8 wins.
They had eight wins. Mm-hmm.
And then drafted Justin Fields a few months later. So it happens sometimes, and this is my in relation to the Giants, where I think the Giants are. I do not think Daniel Jones is the future of the Giants. I think that things are falling right for them in certain games, but at some point that catches up, and I do think it's going to catch up during this year because I think Saquon's great and like comeback player, you could say, and contention for that. There's a couple guys that you could list, but Saquon has to be on there because he's just had a lights out season, and Daniel Jones can run and he's fast, and that's what's kind of saving them in certain points. But I do think that's going to catch up. And then what? Like, what do you do if you have the 15th, 16th, 17th pick and you need a quarterback? Like, that's when you have to start thinking about, and I don't know, they don't want to because they're winning, but when maybe they're at 8-9 or 9-8 at the end of the season and they are in the division they're in, it starts bringing up questions.
And Donna, the Patriots for the longest time have drafted well. Not so much?
Well, it depends. I mean, wide receiver-wise, no.
But most positions, they've done a good job of drafting and developing guys. And that's where the Jaguars are the opposite of that, right? Like, you look at the Jaguars draft classes going back the last 10 years, and guys that should be the veteran leaders on this team aren't on this team.
Yeah.
The guys that should be in their prime on this team aren't on this team, i.e. Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Fournette. You know, you look around the league. Other role players, like even like an Alan Lazard, we have him and then he leaves. And so I think we would be talking so differently about this season in particular if the Jaguars had hit on certain draft picks. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence was the correct draft pick. Everybody knew that.
Right.
And Travis Etienne was a great draft pick. We didn't have him last year because of injury, but certainly now playing great. But if guys like C.J. Henderson and Kalavon Chaisson and before that, if they are the correct draft picks, then I think this season we're talking about a team that's going to the playoffs. We're not talking about 2023, pointing to 2023 and all that. Even with the Urban debacle last year, I think this season we're talking about in the hunt and going to the playoffs, especially in this week AFC South. And yet, of course, we're not because the types of guys that we have now are rookies and too much is expected from them, mm-hmm. or the veteran leaders aren't present the way they should be.
Yeah, so it goes back to the, you know, very beginning of the season when Doug Peterson had his opening press conference mm-hmm. saying, you know, this is going to take time. You have to yeah. be patient. And then, oops, week two and three happen, and nobody yeah. is patient anymore. Yeah. We're all excited.
Now the clock's ticking. You're yeah. like, oh, well.
Oh, my gosh, we're going to be good right away. Yeah. This is so
playoffs.
Exciting.
Division
and
winners.
Back down to earth. Yeah. And so, yeah, we have to be patient. And, yeah. you know, and I know everybody is on that, you know, you're either on the side of last year was a wash and you have to look at this year as kind of a new beginning for Trevor. Or, no, last year wasn't a wash. He still played all those games and, you know, and I understand and he had experience, but he had no coaching. And so everybody's kind of in one camp or the other. And regardless of what camp you're in, this is still a new coaching staff and it's still a new system. And so, yes, it's going to take time. And next year,
Circle your calendar for January and February. Next year will
be exciting.
Maybe 2024 too. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Once you turn it, you hope that then it's turned for a long time. Unfortunately, around here, fans are scarred because we thought it was built in 2017 and right. not a Gus Bradley built, but like a for real built right. with Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone. And we all thought, all right, they've got the pieces, especially defensively. And what if they right. had a quarterback that was even better? Oh, my goodness. Now we're talking about yeah. and add a, you know, maybe a better wide receiver here and there. But in the end, it's not always a formula in the NFL.
Yeah.
Many franchises, that's the formula. They get the right coach, they get a quarterback, and they're good for a long time. Mm-hmm. But that hasn't been the formula here. And so certainly we hope that that is the formula going forward. All right, Taylor has or who cares on the other side. We've also got more NFL to get to. You are listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet, live here at Bellwether Downtown. Come hang out with us here on Forsyth Street until 8 o'clock right here on 1010X on 92.5 FM.
Stilettos and Sabermetrics.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Mia O'Brien, Taylor Dahl, Donna Murphy. I'm Lauren Brooks. JJ LaSelva making it all happen back at 1010XL headquarters. And our good friend Richie engineering us here live at Bellwether. Donna, what was your favorite thing that you ate?
What was my, what?
The broccoli.
The best thing
yes,
you ate.
The broccoli.
There's a TV show on one of the cooking channels called Best Thing You Ever Ate.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What was the best thing you ate here tonight? The charred broccoli
yes,
for you?
Yes, the charred broccoli.
Taylor?
Mine's probably the poutine, just because that's literally consists of everything I love.
Okay.
Like cheese, gravy, and french fries.
Absolutely. Mia?
You know, I only got into boiled peanuts probably about 6 months ago was the first time I ever had
okay.
some.
Okay, welcome.
I'm very impressed with the boiled peanuts. The boiled peanuts
boiled.
Here
bowl.
At
there's no D. Just bowl.
Boiled.
Is there an I, though? Because you're saying like bowl, bowl. Yeah, you're like saying like bowl, bowl. Yeah.
Not bowl. It's bowl. Just, it's different.
It's not different.
It's different. Bowl, bowl. Bowl peanut. Either way, I will say the bowl peanut hummus is my favorite. I love hummus in general. And the falafel, by the way, is also really good, made of chickpeas or garbanzo beans, depending on how you look at it. All right, Taylor, take us through uh-oh or who cares.
Okay, could someone please explain why people care about this?
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs.
Who cares? Let's do things that suck.
We have a problem.
Anybody care what this guy thinks?
No!
Uh-oh. I think we're in trouble.
All right, ladies, here's the segment where you tell me if this is a uh-oh or if this is a who cares, if it's a big deal or not a big deal.
Okay.
So for me, this is hitting close to home for me personally within the last few weeks, but I've seen a lot of other people posting about it. Mia, as you were doing your game recap from the Jags, you mentioned a couple plays also that were maybe not the right calls or missed calls. So I want to talk a little bit about officiating this season, because I have seen many numbers indicating that wrong calls, overturned calls, have increased within the last couple years. I think this, you could look at it many ways, because you could say, well, they're throwing a lot more flags because they have a way now, like pretty much you could go back and look at it and they can say, okay, we're wrong. Not everything is reviewable, obviously, and not everything completely changes, or they have to throw that challenge flag, and that makes an issue for some coaches too if you don't have timeouts or whatever the case may be. But I've just seen more and more plays more and more penalties that are affecting games in ways that it's leading to losses and wins for the other team. And some of the numbers I've read, too, are just in general how many more of these issues are in the NFL compared to even the NBA and Major League Baseball. If you're a baseball fan, I know a lot of times you're watching it and you're like, that was like these strikes and balls are off all night. But the numbers that I've read, the NFL is drastically having to come back and say they're wrong way more than Major League Baseball has been and the NBA. So it's just really, it's interesting to me, and it's pulling a lot of ways because we complain when there's too many flags sometimes. Like, why is this ref throwing everything? And then you'll see makeup flags, and we'll say it right away, like, oh, he threw that because he missed this call earlier. So are we at a point now where the NFL is going to have to figure out something, or they know people are going to watch either way and it's not going to change?
I mean, they're going to watch either way because it's the NFL. I agree. I, if anything, I think the NFL kind of loves it because it creates more discourse, creates more conversation
drama
on social media. It creates more radio programs like ours talking about it, and therefore it translates to more money.
Mm-hmm.
And more teams that, you know, are focused in on, or more, not more teams, but more entities that are focused in, whether that's sports books or whether that is sports media conglomerates that are then debating and posting all 22s, which apparently you're not supposed to, but people do it anyways, mm-hmm. and debating whether or not, you know, a play is a foul or not. So, no, I think any publicity is publicity.
Yeah. I think what's crazy to me, Donna, is that the most watched league in all of the country has had terrible rules for a long time, but yet it's going to grow in popularity. I mean, yep. The overtime rules are atrocious.
Yeah.
And yet,
I mean, the fact that they have to post an entire list to explain to people.
Exactly. And the pass interference we've seen that wasn't called. Somehow, some way, the NFL is not getting officiating right, but it's never going to hurt the product unless I think they change it from being an offensive lead to a defensive league. Mm-hmm. I think they've trained their viewers that more offense leads to a better product. So as long as they keep it offense first, mm-hmm. I think people are just going to be dealing with the officiating or the errors in officiating on a week-by-week basis instead of more of a 10,000-foot basis.
Right, and people will still keep watching. And I saw earlier today that Bill Belichick wants the rules changed in the last 2 minutes of the game to where coaches can make challenges. Because currently coaches can't make challenges.
Mm-hmm. Right, but I don't understand, like, other than you're trying to hurry it up. But, like, if you're trying to get it right, shouldn't a coach be able to throw the challenge flag
Correct.
At all times?
Right, yeah. They should. But, look, according to, not according to, but when you look at the last game for the Jags against the Chiefs, that's ridiculous. It's absolutely atrocious that you're telling me that the Chiefs played an absolute perfect game. No, they did not.
Yeah.
They absolutely did not. There were many calls that were not called. And I know that the Chiefs are up in arms, over Cisco's hits.
Yep.
And when you look back and you look at them, it was the first hit he had on Juju, he was not targeting him at all. Juju turned into him.
Yeah, he took two steps upfield and lowered his head.
Absolutely.
It wasn't Cisco lowered his head. Cisco was just standing there and happened to be standing there.
Well, Cisco turned his head. And he went in with his
shoulder.
And led with his shoulder. So you be mad all you want, Chiefs. Again, just something else that I don't like about them.
Yeah.
It just adds up on my list of things.
Yeah.
So that's fine by me. Cisco played his butt off. He was the only one out there defensively that played his butt off.
Yeah.
So I was proud of him.
I thought Rayshon played pretty good, too.
But as regards to the refs, I mean, you're always going to be mad at the refs.
Yeah.
You're always going to be mad at the officiating because it's always going to go, the opposite way that you want. And then, yes.
Unless you're Chiefs and you have zero penalties.
I think you have zero penalties. It doesn't happen that way. So, yeah.
Well,
you're always going to watch, though. You're just going
to
watch
for sure.
It.
And now we're to the point where you have a million different angles and they can zoom in and they can slow it down. And even when you're at the game, they're showing it on a massive screen zoomed in and you're seeing it in like the closest possible way and you're like, how are they missing this? Like, if we're seeing it, they're going to see it. But at what point does it start to get to, and you mentioned the as long as it's helping the offense, at what point are defensive players going to start being like, this isn't cool? Some people have already started. Michael Parsons has been tweeting crazy about it lately because he's like, you want to protect the quarterback, but you don't want to protect us. Like, we can get CTE, we can get concussions.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting our bodies on the line constantly too, and you're not doing anything to change certain rules on the defensive side of the ball. And then I think a lot of people's thing is just accountability from the refs, because one, the thing that really fired me up was, this was last week and the Bears were playing, when they were playing, and they, Chase Claypool's first game, you've probably seen the clip, because they didn't call a pass interference on, and there was three different guys like completely hugging him, picking him up in the air, and that game directly, that would have put the Bears in field goal range and would have tied the game compared to us losing. And then this last week, they overturned they called it hands to the face, which literally, if you go back and look, his hands were completely on his shoulders, which took away an interception, which also would have ended the game and the Bears would have beat the Lions. So it's two direct calls that ended up leading to the Bears losing, which in my head, I'm at the point right now where I want the Bears to lose because I want a top five pick, but still it hurts. And it's just like, and then people ask for accountability, and the next day they release a press release like, oh, the ref said they messed up on these calls. Okay, now what? Like, are you going to fix it?
Right.
Are you going to study more? Are we, like, I get it.
Are you
going to
be, like, suspended for a week?
Yeah, are we doing something, or we just get to say, I'm sorry, and that's it?
Can we replay the game at that part?
Yeah, and
we,
like, go ahead start and fix from it? There? I don't know. But then that's hard. Like, how do you make them accountable for something like that? Because also, there's a limited number of weeks in the NFL, and I think that's part of it, too. When in other sports, these guys are playing multiple times a week, so maybe that makes it a little easier when you're calling these calls constantly. These guys have to do it on a Sunday and then not again until the following Sunday. And there has to be bias there, I'm sure, at some points, because same thing, Chiefs had zero penalties and the Jacks had five or six.
Five.
And then the Bears had nine penalties and the Lions had one. And I was like, there's just no way that the Lions, who is one of the worst teams in the league, were almost penalty free until the last quarter.
Yeah. So I do want to read this one off the text line, Design by Lifetime Enclosure, 641-1010, the number to reach us at. Aaron says, not to mention the flags that they didn't throw on the Chiefs for PI and some of the others, kind of feels like playing Brady and the Patriots all over again.
See, now, I completely get that, yeah. But at least Brady and the Patriots would get maybe three to the other team's seven. The Patriots would never go a perfect game. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. They would get the tuck rule called on them. They would get something ridiculous.
But Brady also is going to get every roughing the passer.
For sure, he will.
Day.
Yeah, for sure he would. And he would also
same for Rodgers.
Hey, Tyler Heineke got it last night.
Right, but he'll do something dumb now, like tripping, and he'll get that call. You know, he'll do dumb
when
things
when he
now.
Slid into second to try to catch the ball.
The frustrating part for me is when they have, for instance, like a Mike Pereira, one of the guys that's in the booth on TV reviewing the officials' calls, and they're like, no, that's wrong. They got it wrong, right? And you're like, why can't he signal down? I know he's not working the game.
Like, he throws a flag out of the booth up top. And
right.
Like,
but, like, obviously this guy has more experience than those guys. That's why he's in the booth. And he was really good at his job. That's why he's in the booth. Let him be like, hold on. No. You got this wrong. This is what it should have been. Right. That's where it's just so frustrating watching. But, look, I think at the end of the day, if you look big picture at this league, it's never going to be perfect. Because you have guys colliding at crazy speeds. And it's never going to be an absolute pass interference versus not a pass interference, right? Like, that one is so subjective. The roughing the passer can even be subjective. Mm-hmm. Last night, certainly if you're an Eagles fan, it's like, hold on, that is not roughing the passer.
Yeah.
But if you're a Commanders fan, you're thinking, of course, you can't do that. That is against the rules, and it is. Mm-hmm. But because it's all subjective, it's just going to lead to lots of fans being discouraged.
Yeah,
and you hope that when your team is really, really good, that those types of things don't ruin the game for you. You don't lose just because of an official's call. You have enough room for error.
I would love to just get rid of taunting. Can we get rid of that in the NFL,
please?
Oh, I hate
it.
Taunting is the most moronic.
But see, when a player does it against my team's player, I can't stand it. Like, I would have liked for Kadarius Toney to get a taunting flag for the way that he kept high-stepping into the end zone, like, you know, hopping. Yes, I understand he was hopping on the sidelines at first, but then once he gets into the end zone, he could stop, and instead he kept doing it. Like, to me, that's almost taunting, even though there was no one around him, which is why you can't throw a taunting penalty, because he was 21 yards away from any nearest Jaguars player. That's neither here nor there.
He hadn't seen the end zone. He didn't know how to get there.
Yeah, that's also true. Of course, the Jaguars were going to make him look like an all-pro. We have more NFL to get to. We are live here at Bellwether Downtown for Downtown's best happy hour. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010XL on 92.5 FM.
Stilettos and Sabermetrics. Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
Live here at Bellwether. You can visit them online at bellwetherjacks.com. They take reservations on Resy, and they can, of course, cater your office lunch. Make sure you get your gift cards for the holidays at Bellwether, or you can order them online at bellwetherjacks.com. Having a great time here at Downtown's Best Happy Hour. Donna, Taylor, Mia, I'm Lauren Brooks, JJ LaSelva back at 1010XL headquarters, and Richie hanging out with us here at Bellwether. All right, ladies, we're going to get to some overreactions or reality when it comes to the NFL. I'll start with you, Mia. Kirk Cousins can lead the Vikings to a Super Bowl.
No, not reality.
Not reality, why not?
No, because it's Kirk Cousins. Because it's Kirk Cousins. I just don't see it happening. I don't care how many weapons you put around him. He's a serviceable quarterback.
But he beat the Bills.
He beat the Bills because...
The Jags beat the Bills last year.
Yes, also that. Also that because Justin Jefferson is a freak. Yeah. And Dalvin Cook is a freak. And Josh Allen fumbled on the goal line. That's why he beat them. Because otherwise, they would not have beaten them. So, I mean, listen, like I've been kind of saying the last few weeks, and I've been talking with some people about this. Obviously, the Jaguars trade for Calvin Ridley was huge. Hopefully, it pays off in the end. But at least it showed an effort to try to put more weapons around Trevor Lawrence and identify that X, Y receiver. There is also a notion floating around that there will be more wide receivers that are not happy with their current situation. And after the firestorm we saw last offseason of wide receivers looking to move, to be traded, to get bigger money elsewhere. I won't be surprised if Jay Jettas, if they have an early playoff exit in Minnesota, if he's the next one to line up, because he's balling. He's a top four, top three wide receiver in the National Football League right now, and if they can't get over the hump, then, yeah, it's going to fall on Kirk.
Taylor, Jeff Saturday is a better coach than Frank Reich. Overreaction or reality?
No, overreaction. I don't, like, say that in my head three times before I answered. Yeah, like... I mean, I get it. And as Jeff Saturday and Jim, crazy Jim Irsay, like, you're going to be excited after that. Like, the Colts are not a very good football team right now, and there's a lot of things for them to figure out, including quarterback. So cool you came in and won a game. I'm going to see a lot more than that, especially considering the track record of quarterbacks that Frank Reich had to deal with for a long time and managed a winning record. So I am not there at all.
Can I add some news on the Jeff Saturday front?
Sure.
That was just broken.
Is he now being made the GM?
No, but evidently, speaking of GMs, he had to transfer his fantasy football team to Eric Decker after he became an NFL head coach, because obviously, ethically, you don't want to be playing fantasy football.
Because you also might end up like Calvin Ridley.
Also that.
Donna, Patrick Mahomes is the MVP of the league. Did I choose this one specifically for you and go out of order?
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did.
No.
Who is?
And she can't say Brady.
No, I'm not going to say Brady. And I'm
or Zappy.
Sure as heck not going to say Aaron Rodgers, which, by the way, did you hear that pregame conversation where he said, where he mentioned to whoever was doing the game, don't forget, I am the reigning two-time MVP. What does that even mean? That good for you.
Nobody
what
cares.
Does that mean?
What have you done for me lately?
Right. Yeah. Hooray for you and your stats. That means nothing for the Packers at all.
That's just Aaron Rodgers.
That is. No, I want to say, even though they did lose last night, I want to say Jalen Hurts.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. So I do. I'm going to go with Hurts, even though he has only one loss.
Absolutely.
But all the stats behind him. I don't want to say Big Helmet is the MVP.
Right. I can understand that because you don't like him.
I don't, but it's not just because I don't like him. But you know what? When you win the MVP, you also don't win the Super Bowl. So I'll happily change my pick to Mahomes, which means he won't win the Super Bowl if that's what it takes. But I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts.
The Bills' Josh Allen has regressed this season. Mia, you already touched on that. You say he has not.
No.
So how about Tua Tagovailoa is the Dolphins' best quarterback since Dan Marino?
Ooh.
Well, I think there's a small sample size to choose from in between him and Dan Marino. So
not
I think
Chad
Henne, Ryan Tannehill.
Jay Cutler.
Right, exactly.
So Taylor will fight about
so
that.
So that's why it's not an overreaction. It's reality. But I think that a lot of the credit has to go to our big brain guy, Mike McDaniel. What did he say, Taylor, to Justin Fields?
He said, stop that.
Stop that. Stop running. He was like, I just wanted him to stop running, and he didn't, and it's really rude. That's bad
to coaching. Or what did he say? Like, it's bad.
He was like,
he didn't listen to coaching.
It was really rude. He, like, didn't listen to coaching. Honestly, he's, like, straight out of, like, Superbad or something.
And he's hilarious.
Really. I love it. Like, I'm so, or The Hangover. Or I don't even know what movie he's out of, but I love it. I know before the season,
He's out of Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes. Well, I was critical before the season started only because, you know, I was like, he's going to be hailed as, oh, he's the next Sean McVay. He's a genius. But he is so different than Sean McVay because he's such a nerd.
Yeah,
and he's not faking it. Like, this is truly who he is. Yeah. I go back to day one of training camp. He took a massive selfie with all the media members. And I was like, this freaking guy. And then it's like, no, this is just, this is truly who he is, because he probably didn't have a lot of friends growing up, and so these are his friends now. But hey, listen, I'm right there with you, brother. But the thing is that he's the genius behind this, and moreover, I think if they didn't have Tyreek Hill on that roster, we're not seeing Tua Tagovailoa put up the numbers he is, and moreover, we're not seeing Jaylen Waddle double his numbers from a year ago, in let alone yards and touchdowns, but also, you know, yards per catch. It's double what he had a season ago, and part of that is because Tyreek Hill has opened up a lot of running lanes for him, just like Devonta Smith has seen a similar effect in Philadelphia with the addition of A.J. Brown.
Taylor, Justin Fields is going to break the rushing yards record for quarterbacks. Overreaction or reality?
I feel like at this point I can't say it's I'll say reality, just because he's been insane. Watching him break Michael Vick's when he hit the 176, I was like, man. And then the next week being like, there's no way he's going to be able to do it again. And then he does it again. And then no way he's going to be able to do it again. And then he does it again. So it would take, barring injury, I would say yes.
Okay. Donna, the Giants are going to make the playoffs.
Yes.
Not an overreaction.
No.
That's reality.
No, yeah. There's just something with Saquon, with the coaching. I know it's a first year, but there's just something in the aura of the Giants this year.
Why can't it be the Jaguars?
I know.
Why don't we have that aura? Yeah.
Why can't? Mia, the Cowboys are out of the NFC East race because obviously the Eagles are going to take and run with it.
No, because they play in the NFC, and I think that the NFC wild card is still up for grabs.
As far as winning the division, they can't
win the
division.
No, they're out of the division. Yeah, no, they're out of the divisional race. That I can tell you, but I do think they will potentially sneak into the playoffs solely because the NFC is not that good. I mean, there's a chance. I saw a graphic today that all four teams in the NFC East and all four teams in the AFC East could make the playoffs, which is bonkers. But I mean, when you look at the rest of the NFC right now, I mean, second place in the West is the 49ers. They're 5-4. Second place in the North is the Packers. They're 4-6. Second place in the South, the Falcons. They're 4-6. So yeah, I mean, the Cowboys will make the playoffs. It's just they're probably not going to be as the division leader.
Taylor, Christian Watson is the best pass catcher on the Packers.
I would have to say yeah for that. He's definitely taken a big step up. There were some questions within the first few weeks because he dropped a few passes and it wasn't looking so good. And there was a lot of talk about Romeo. Is it Dubs or Dubs? Dubs.
We just say Dubs. I don't know.
Say Dubs because Dubs are a stat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dubs. And, like, there was a while where a lot of Packers fans were saying it was him, but I think in the last couple of weeks, especially this last win against the Cowboys, it's hard to say that it's not him.
And finally, Donna, the Bucks are Super Bowl contenders in the NFC.
Ooh, I mean, that divorce is signed and final, man. Look out for
2-0 since the divorce,
Brady.
Is that right?
Woo! She's on to the jiu-jitsu instructor, right?
Yeah, well, yes and no.
Allegedly.
I would say look out
is
for this, Brady.
Is that person attractive? I have not seen a picture.
TMZ's reporting it.
Well, it's not Brady. And it's not Jimmy G, so
is
there's
he,
that.
Is the jiu-jitsu instructor much younger than her? Because Brady obviously has regressed when it comes to years in his face.
I don't know. She looks super young. You know,
she does. That's true.
She doesn't look like she's in her 50s, I think. She's in her 50s.
Is she? I thought she was just in her 40s.
I don't know. 40, whatever she's in.
I'd like
know.
To think she's right around our age and we look just as young as her, Donna.
Okay. you're very kind.
I mean, maybe not quite like her.
Yeah, I don't.
But I'd like to think
she is 42.
See, that's what I thought. She was right around her age.
I put her in her 50s. That's bad.
Yeah, you did.
So does she look her age?
That's because you're Team Brady and not Team Giselle.
Well, so apparently he went to Costa Rica with her and the kids.
Brady did, or
no,
the jiu-jitsu guy?
Yeah, the jiu-jitsu instructor.
Oh, she already brought along the kids with that dude.
I've never been to Costa Rica. I would like to go.
He's their jiu-jitsu instructor.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So she's known him for a long time. He's comfortable around the children. Now he's just sleeping in a different, or sleeping actually in the house instead of a different house. And you know what? Each their own. Families change.
I just say
good.
Watch out for the now single and focused only on the team, Brady.
Yes. So, oh, goodness. Yes. I want to talk about a couple events upcoming, as well as some college football and a whole lot more. One segment to go here, live at Bellwether, downtown Jacksonville's best happy hour, right here on 1010X on 92.5 FM.
Stilettos and Sabermetrics.
Helmets and heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
Little Tom Petty for you on this Tuesday night, as we have really enjoyed ourselves here at Bellwether Downtown. If you've never been here, you've got to come check this beautiful place out. Very modern and super easy parking after 5 p.m. So come and hang out.
Six.
Well, I parked between 5 and 6, and it was very easy parking. Very easy parking.
It
Did
is
you park before 5 p.m.?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying it's free parking after 6.
Yes. Well, obviously most people who work downtown are going to leave around 5, right. So that's why it's easy parking
after
5 p.m. But yeah, everything's been fantastic here. We really appreciate them having us and hope you come check out the happy hour, which is Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 7, with the only exception on Friday when happy hour starts at 11 a.m. All right, we were talking in the break about food, and I wanted to tell everyone – normally, this time, or this would be the third week that the college football playoff rankings would come out. They don't come out tonight until 9 o'clock because of college basketball.
Champions Classic, baby.
That's right. So, food. So, 1010XL has had a cook-off previously between Leon and Shannon Snell, and it was a lasagna cook-off. And neither made a traditional lasagna, which is fascinating, and it was delicious. And it was fun to compare the two. So, Mia, that inspired 1010 to do a station-wide Thanksgiving cook-off.
Yes, we will be doing the Thanksgiving cook-off this upcoming Tuesday at 11 a.m. Videos will follow. Don't you worry, 1010 listeners. We're not going to leave you in the dark. But how we are doing it is Taylor and I have come up with a series of Thanksgiving items. We put two slots so that we can have two turkeys.
Mono-y-mono.
Two mashed potatoes, two stuffings, two casseroles, and so anyone can sign up from
the
1010
staff.
But
it can't be stuffing because the person making the dressing is not making the turkey. The person making the turkey is not also making the stuffing.
Yeah,
so therefore, it's
the
dressing.
Correct.
Dressing.
Correct.
Stuffing. Right, Donna?
Yes.
It's dressing.
It's stuffing.
Because it's not going in the bird.
It's stuffing.
It's not going in the bird.
But
yeah. Really debate.
So it's been fun so far. We still have a couple openings. So if any of our coworkers are listening, you need to make sure you sign up. But I know we already have two turkeys. And we definitely have two dressings or stuffings because it's going to be
stuffing.
Hacker versus Matt Hayes. And so for those of you that love that rivalry.
Is Hacker, do we know that Hacker's going to make it? Are we requiring video of the preparation?
It is funny
because
that you
I have a feeling
that.
His wife, Heidi, is probably making said dish.
It is funny that you dressing. Should say that, Lauren, because Matt Hayes called him out on that yesterday.
I know him as well as Matt Hayes does, so yeah.
To which Hacker said, no, Heidi is not helping. Heidi may be there for moral support.
I love that.
And no, his mom is also not cooking it. He insists that he will be cooking the stuffing.
I love it. I'm excited to try all of it. We will be doing this on Tuesday of next week ahead of Thanksgiving. But I do have a question. So I'm scheduled for, I signed up for dessert.
Yes.
Do I need to, I'm going up against Jack O'Brien. Do I need to determine and ascertain what dessert he's making so that we make the same exact thing?
No.
Or
stuffing.
We can each make.
Do whatever you want.
Stuffing if it goes in the bird. That's why it's called stuff.
Stovetop says it's stuffing.
Yes, but nobody uses stovetop.
Yes, I do.
You do?
Of course. It's delicious.
Okay. It's a good thing Donna's doing mashed potatoes and not dressing
as long as she
stuffing.
Puts salt in them.
But as long as you. Yeah, but that those boxes have plenty of salt, which is good. So I don't need to confer with Jack and figure out what dessert he's making.
No, you just do
because mashed potatoes, you're actually comparing both mashed potatoes, both turkeys, both dressings.
Well, it's technically a potato. Like, Donna's not doing a technical mashed potato. Hers is like a little turn on it. So some people will be...
Like, it could be au gratin versus regular mashed potatoes.
Matt Hayes has already suggested that he may be doing a Brian Kelly LSU dressing stuffing.
Like oyster stuffing.
Yes. So that also may be in the works. So no, the world is your oyster. Pun intended.
Okay. So I do not even need to talk to Jack.
No.
I show up with the dessert. He shows up with the dessert.
Mm-hmm. Put your best foot forward. He puts his best foot forward. We decide.
Right. Okay. Well, with that being said, I also will not be going in the traditional pumpkin pie recipe direction because I do feel like most people, while they like that, it's never their favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I did think that we had to talk about what we were doing.
No. Nope.
Okay. All right. That's good to
know.
They're
your opponent. When do you talk to your opponent before the game?
You trash talk.
Yeah, exactly. But
and
you don't tell them.
He is in the cubicle in front of me. So I might post a little paper tomorrow.
You don't tell them your down. Scheme. You don't tell them your scheme. You don't tell them what you're planning. So
I do hope that everyone who has signed up for something outside of a few maybe different people, that they are actually making said thing. Like, that's what I'm hoping, if they are in the competition aspect
competitive,
of it. So you know I am, and I'm going to be so mad
I'm
if I lose.
I'm just here for the food and the content,
so,
okay?
Well, also true. And here's the thing. So the dessert that I picked out, I've never made before. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if I should do a trial run.
Test.
But at the same time, I don't eat dessert.
Yeah. Have Brian test.
Yeah. I just don't, that would be, I think, somewhat wasteful. So I think I'm just going to go into it. Let's go.
Yeah. Give
and,
it to a food kitchen. That's good.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if I test it.
Let me know
it.
How this is.
Honestly, my goal in life is not to beat Jack necessarily. It's just to provide something that's tasty. So
don't lie.
Based off of the reviews, I'm having to tell myself that's not what it is. We have talked a lot about food, obviously. So, Taylor, you have a story from the grocery store lately.
Oh, yes, I do. So, last week, actually, after Helmets and Heels, I went to the store just to get a couple items, and as I'm walking around, I see this girl first, and she has a Travis Kelce shirt on, and it's definitely one of the ones that you like, not a jersey or a jersey, but like has his like almost like ironed on, you know, like those ones where it's like a picture kind of ironed on, and it just said like I can't remember exactly, but something about like my man Kelce or something like that.
Okay.
And so I see it, but I don't say anything. I walk away. I end up behind her in line. And so I hear her talk to, like, the cashier says, oh, are you a Travis Kelce fan? And she was like, he's the hottest guy in the NFL. And so I immediately kind of, like, turn, and I'm like, now I'm listening, because I'm like, is this cashier going to respond about the hottest man? It was a man cashier also. So I was like, is he going to respond to who's the hottest NFL player? And he literally goes, not Jimmy Garoppolo? And I was like, okay, this is content right here. So then I hear the bagger goes, yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo. And the girl goes, who's Jimmy Garoppolo? And I was like, oh gosh. So then I'm just more listening. And then the bagger goes, what about Kirk Cousins? And the girl goes, oh, nah, I don't love him. And I'm just sitting there listening to this conversation. I was like, never did I think I'd be standing in line behind people talking about who was the hottest NFL player in a grocery store. And so I'm like sitting there, and I'm not saying anything, and I kind of wish I did, but I was like in my head trying to go over people that I also think are attractive in the NFL, and I was like, the people that I think, they're probably gonna be like,
Jay Cutler,
yeah,
for life.
They're gonna be like, heck no, he's not at all.
They would be like, who's Jay Cutler?
Yeah, they'd be like, who? And
if she doesn't know Jimmy Garoppolo, she's not gonna.
That's what
Jay
I'm
Cutler.
Saying. But I immediately, the whole time in my head, I was like, I wish Donna was here, because Donna would be like, Jimmy G.
How do you not know who Jimmy Garoppolo is? You think Travis Kelce is the hottest
if
thing?
If this person's listening to the show, it's understandable. We appreciate you listening and shopping locally.
Yes. But no, but she knows who Kirk Cousins is, but you don't know who Jimmy G is.
She may not. She may have just been like, I don't want to sound
no to
uninformed again, yeah. And be, you know.
Or maybe did the Vikings play the Chiefs yet this year? Maybe that's why she knows Kirk Cousins' name.
So. Well, and Taylor made the point. Maybe she knows, like, she's big on Twitter, so maybe she saw, like, the shirtless Kirk Cousins with all the gold
chains.
Yeah,
with, like, the chains on recently.
And also Adam Schefter with the same look.
Taylor.
By the way, I have friends that say Jason Kelce's more attractive than Travis Kelce.
I'm a beard person, so.
You're a mullet and a beard.
JJ, would you like to weigh in here on who's the more attractive? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't got a lot.
I can understand.
I know
that.
You're so glad you're at 1010XL headquarters and not with us for this conversation.
Come on, JJ. You know it's always Jimmy G. That is always the answer.
Yeah, Jimmy G. Looks amazing. I'll give you that. Say,
looks amazing.
That's my boy. You are always my man, JJ.
Yeah, I can't really disagree.
Lauren, see? I have a question for you, because we were last segment talking about reactions and overreactions, mm-hmm. and we didn't get one from you, but one that is very relatable to your feelings and thoughts. Do the Raiders try to get a new quarterback this offseason?
I don't think they can because of the contract that they paid Derek
Isn't
Carr.
Isn't that insane?
And so I think they are, I mean... The first thing I do if I'm Mark Davis is I call Rich Bisaccia and I say, you know, I will pay you whatever you want. But you had this team doing so well last season after we had fired John Gruden. Please come back. And the locker room loved you, and I was wrong, and I went in a different direction with Josh McDaniels, and everything has gone wrong. So that is what I would do. I understand that that's never going to happen because nobody will ever admit their wrongs like that, especially that publicly. But I don't know what they're going to do. Yeah. I really don't know how. I mean, I thought his contract originally of the 3 years, $125 million, was
insane anyways.
Ridiculous. Yeah. He's a stats quarterback. He's not a clutch quarterback is what I've always felt. And I do think that you get a better idea of getting to see guys in person. Mm-hmm. And that is honestly what I felt about Lamar Jackson as far as not being a good passer. Now, granted, he's been able to change his game, and he's grown and learned a lot. And that was just when he was in college. But seeing Baker Mayfield live at TIAA Bank Field, I was like, this guy is awful.
Boring.
And I'm not saying that I was right and that's why his career has plummeted. Mm-hmm. But there are times that when you get to see how wide open guys are and the quarterback miss, you learn a lot more from them than watching it on TV. Mm-hmm. And so I thought Derek Carr was really, really bad when he played here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it has worked out for the teams playing against the Raiders this season. It just hasn't worked out for the Raiders.
Well, who's the offensive coordinator? Is it Mike Lombardi?
Yeah, who was with the Chargers.
Right.
And now Justin Herbert's struggling without him.
Yeah.
Or was it Joe Lombardi? Right? Or is he still with the Chargers?
Are we talking
too many Lombardis?
Yeah.
Does Josh McDaniel?
And they don't have a Lombardi.
Yeah, so Joe Lombardi is still with the Chargers. But then the Raiders offensive coordinator is?
Mick Lombardi.
Mick Lombardi.
Does Josh McDaniel make it through the season?
I mean, I don't know.
Mark
that
Davis is so.
Hey, listen. He ain't Jim Irsay.
Yeah. He's not.
I don't think he's going to pull the trigger this early. But I don't know what they're going to do. And it's similar to the Broncos. Mm-hmm. You have Russell Wilson now for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously longer with Wilson than with Carr. And you have Nate Hackett. And what are you going to do to fix it? What I don't know is the Raiders cap situation and the Broncos cap situation. I know the Broncos don't have as much trade value or trade capital because of the fact that they traded for Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the Raiders, but if you don't have a lot of money to be able to go try and build even more around it, but you'd think you've got Darren Waller, you've got Davante Adams, what more can you need?
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, it could be an offensive line thing. It could be the fact that their defense, I mean, they were up 17-0 and their defense then allowed the Jags to come back, and that's happened in other games too. So it's a disaster. I'm glad I don't cover the Raiders because
I was about to say how nice it is it to not be talking things about needing a head coach or a quarterback now.
It,
like those are two things that we're solid in our feelings at this moment that we have what we need for at least, I don't know how long Doug's trying to coach, but you could say 5-10 years, you know, like as long as everything's going well. And it's the first time that I feel like we've been in a position in a while where we're comfortable with both of those.
Yeah, and I think as you look around the college football landscape in the state of Florida and certainly in Athens, it's that way too. Florida's really happy with Billy Napier. Miami, yes, they understand they have to build the roster back up with Mario Cristobal, but as far as what he's been able to do with recruiting, that's looked excellent. Mm-hmm. You've got Florida State, who all of a sudden thinks Mike Norvell is going to be really good there, and you've got, obviously, Kirby Smart and the dynasty that he's built.
Yeah.
Kirby Smart is going to his fifth SEC championship game in 7 years at Georgia. Fifth. Like, that is, we haven't talked about that as much because Georgia has only won one national championship and certainly lost last year's SEC championship to Alabama. But what Kirby Smart's doing at Georgia is just ridiculous, and it's great for those who love the red and black. Real quick, by the way, I wanted to mention, tomorrow I will be moderating a town hall at the Cohen Clinic at Centerstone, so I wanted to give them a shout-out and thank them for inviting me to be the moderator. It'll be three women of distinction when it comes to veterans, and so certainly excited to be able to help them share their stories of the different things they've been through, certainly a lot of years through the Navy and the National Guard. And so, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to learning more about the Cohen Clinic and certainly learning more about their careers and everything like that. And so I appreciate them having me. All right, Mia, I have a question for you.
Yes.
You made a bet on Justin Fields.
I did. Before you arrived, I was explaining to Taylor, a good buddy of mine, the one, the only John Alba of ad-free shows and formerly Spectrum Orlando Acclaim and, of course, the Bruce Beck and I and Eagle Sports Casting Camp, says to me, Justin Fields, 125 yards this week, over or under rushing yards against the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
So It's the Falcons. And he's trying to give me an easy layup, he says, because we've been making some wagers lately on the podcast that we've been doing together. And I have not done so well in the wagers. I had to drink an entire pint of Arizona, or not Arizona, Wawa iced tea throughout the course of
I hear a pint. I do not think iced tea.
Yep. Nope. What do you call it? Liter. Like the whole, like the jug.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever had one of those? Yeah. So I had to drink a whole one of those during a 55-minute podcast. I had to do a shot of hot sauce. So, yeah. So we always have these wagers. But this one, thankfully, I don't think there's anything that I have to eat, which is a good thing. But yes, 125 rushing yards for Justin Fields, over or under. I took the under only because, I mean, I know he ran for 147 last week. And John was like, I can't wait for when he scrambles for a 75-yard rushing touchdown on the first play of the game. And I was like,
he's had back-to-back 60-pluses. So.
Yeah, right. So, yes, could it happen? Absolutely. It would only continue to be my luck with this wager that we've been doing every week. But at the same time, I just think that now we saw it with Travis Etienne this past weekend with the Chiefs. I mean, I would think that Atlanta is going to try to stop Justin Fields from running, mm-hmm. force him to pass.
I mean,
what have they been trying to do? What have other teams been trying to do?
Trying.
And not succeeding. And not succeeding. So.
And we obviously, like we found out in between the time that she did this and we started the show, Khalil Herbert's on IR now. So now it's going to be Justin and Montgomery running. But I told her also, I was like, I could see this being the game where maybe he only rushes for 105 because
then I'll look so smart. I will look so smart.
Only because Atlanta's defense, like rushing, their rushing defense is like middle of the pack, like not terrible, not great, but their passing defense is the worst in the league. So I could see this being a game where they try to get some opportunity out of that just to shut some people up a little bit about Justin actually being able to pass the ball. And they'll now have a few weeks with Claypool to get adjusted a little bit to the offense and be able to use him a little bit more. But, I mean, I also wouldn't be shocked if he did another 150.
So what would you have taken, the over or under?
Well, I just can't bet on them. I cannot bet on the Bears or Justin or anything to do with my team because the last time I did, I had to wear an Aaron Rodgers jersey, and I'm never doing that again. So, sorry.
And I can understand that based off of my story at the beginning of the show, so I can certainly understand that. All right, that is a wrap for us. We really appreciate our friends here at Bellwether on Forsyth Street. Come and hang out here. It is downtown's best happy hour, open for lunch Monday through Friday and open until midnight Friday and Saturday. For JJ LaSilva back at 1010XL headquarters, for Richie, our engineer, for Donna Murphy, for Taylor Dahl, for Mia O'Brien, I'm Lauren Brooks. Don't go anywhere, though. Into the Night with Rick Ballew comes up next, so keep it right here on 1010XL and an 82.5 FM.